Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this particular episode is Cues of the Force. But where there are Cues, there must be A's, so we'll have those too. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Absock. I'm looking for A's. I love when there's Cues, there must be A's in CinemaScope this summer. Yes.
Just standing on a hill looking into the horizon. Where are my A's? My beautiful A's. I have too many Cues.
A's.
Please give us A's. Here's one of our A's, an Audible intro. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. We're continuing to recommend a book we just discussed. That is Battle Scars by Sam Meggs. Anybody out there enjoying the video game Jedi Survivor, mashing them buttons to make those lightsabers go and enjoying the story?
How dare you?
You might enjoy this book as well. We enjoyed it and had a really fun discussion about all the ideas in the book and about who these characters are and what matters to them and why and all sorts of great stuff. So if you're interested in checking out that book, you can get it free, and it really helps us. You can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/forcecenter for your free audio book. And to be clear, I wish I had a PlayStation 5 so I could be mashing those buttons to make the lightsabers go. I look forward to playing this game when time and finances and physical space under my television allows.
Might be the biggest issue with that PS5, which is great. Yeah, blessed to have it. Blessed to be playing the game. My struggles with it on live stream have been well documented. But since then, I've calmed down. I've not streamed the game, and I'm finding my way around with a little less anger and still mashing buttons, but it's fun. And I'll tell you what, one of the reasons is this book, because I know the characters a little bit more. So download it, like Joseph said, audibletrial.com/4Center. Let's just keep plugging it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's 1A down. We got several A's to go. We're doing our ask segment, letting people know how they can help us out. Ken, take it away.
Yeah, our current ask is over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/4Center. We'd love for you to consider checking that out. Great way to support the show, help us grow, and help us keep going strong. I always say keep going strong. That's not a threat. We'll be going, even if it's Joseph and I recording once a year. 4Center will be here. But we're trying to do some cool things here in 2023. And one of our things is a new goal. We're trying to reach $2,200 a month. That will make another Star Wars ranked live stream exclusive for patrons and released to the public later. That will make it a thing. And we did that. We had a fun episode ranking our favorite sequel trilogy scenes. And we want to thank you all for making that happen. But visit patreon.com/4Center to make our next goal. With part of this growth and trying to plan for not just this year, but the future, we put out a wonderful survey. I say wonderful because I really thought it was great market research. And I've enjoyed looking at the answers. But to help us get a bigger picture, we're trying to get a total of 1,000 responses. And we're trying to do this by May 17th, 8 p.m. Pacific for you time zoners over there. To do this, you can find a link on our socials, but also surveymonkey.com/r/VJK8K79. surveymonkey.com/r/VJK8K79. Like a droid that's going to help you move forward in a game. Those are our asks, sir.
Yeah, those are great asks. And this isn't an ask, but a tease of an ask. I mentioned this on a new show. I've got a new creative project I'm working on with some wonderful partners. Ken is going to be involved, and I'll be launching a crowdfunding campaign, a Kickstarter for that very soon. So if you might be interested in that, keep your eye open on this spot and, you know, the socials, as Ken said. I forgot that people used to, that's such an easy, quick word, the socials.
The socials. Like remember old parlances of the time that seemed like yesterday?
It really is. That's when, you know, Gen Z and millennials are like ancient, right? And he's like, I remember the early days of the socials.
I kind of remember the first time, a different podcast here today. I kind of remember the first time I saw, like, on news, the morning news. Well, they're calling it social media. I was like, well, that's interesting.
Oh, so you don't have to list Friendster and MySpace every time. You can combine those and just call them social media. Yeah, I don't even remember the first day. That is amazing. I think I remember where I was when I heard about email. Anyway, that made me feel creaky and old. So let's move on. You know what? We have one more A. It's a Wooga. It's an awareness of some tweaks that we're playing with as we keep looking at what we're doing here. We want to be able to make sure that we have time to discuss all the questions in depth, but not get the episodes too super long as we sometimes do on 4Center. So we're experimenting with a slightly different structure here on Cues of the Force. We're going to have two questions from our patrons on Patreon. That's going to be coming up first. And then we're going to do one question a week from Twitter because we don't get as many questions there. And then we'll still be doing that Power of the Light Side segment. So slight change up, but everything else remains the same. We're taking the cues and we're hopefully giving some A's. Are you ready, Ken?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. Well, we go first then to patrons on Patreon. This comes to us from Robert Meadows. Robert says, greetings all. I was rewatching Tales of the Jedi, and it seems like Qui-Gon's death was the final nail in the coffin for Dooku choosing the dark side. If Qui-Gon had lived, could he have saved his former master and old friend? Dooku seems confident in Attack of the Clones that Qui-Gon would have joined him if he were alive. Yes, they both agreed that the path the Jedi were on at the time wasn't the right one, but I still don't think Qui-Gon would have joined the dark side. I think Dooku only believes this because of how corrupted he was by the dark side and how he couldn't let go of Qui-Gon after his death. If Qui-Gon had lived, I think there's a small chance he could have brought Dooku back to the light. What say you? I love that turn of phrase. What say you? It makes me feel like I should say a yes to some mead in a hall, and also say yes to everything that Robert said. That's my spoiler. Ken, I agree with all this. Where are you at?
I kind of do as well, Robert. This is a very insightful question and comment and thought starter here. And it also reminds me that those Tale of the Jedi episodes, all of them, the Ahsoka ones included, but God, especially the Dooku ones, are just spectacular. Some of my favorite recent Star Wars storytelling, because it brings this all up. It also kind of highlights the tragedy of someone like Dooku making these decisions. And I do believe there were decisions in conjunction with some corruption, but I think that's what corruption does. It kind of maybe leads you down a path to make some of these big decisions. So yeah, big yes to all of it. And I'll just start simple, Joseph, and pass the talking hammer back to you. I do think there's a good chance, even maybe higher than a small chance, that he could have brought Dooku back to the light. And maybe even a bigger chance that maybe Dooku pulls back from some of it if Qui-Gon is alive and is they're able to have more of these discussions. At the end of the day, I still think he was on this path and that could have all could have happened regardless. But that's where I start with this.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to start. I really love everything that Robert lays out, and I think that his analysis of Tales of the Jedi, that that Qui-Gon's death is the final nail in the coffin, not for Dooku necessarily, for any possibility of Dooku stepping back. He was already pretty far down the line of the dark side, right? When he's meeting with someone he knows Sith Lord. So I think it's really the final nail in the coffin of any chance of Dooku turning back. And I think that's what's so great about that episode of Tales of Jedi, the Sith Lord. We see these two competing forces on Dooku. He wobbles a little bit on the dark side. He questions whether the end result is going to justify what he's done. So I think such a huge part of the dark side is lying to yourself. It's giving in to your anger and your fear and your lust for power. But there's always, not always, I guess often in Star Wars, an immediate rational justification for it too.
Yes.
I think that's what's going on in Revenge of the Sith when Anakin gives in to his fear of losing Padme and chooses Sidious over Mace and the Jedi. But then Sidious comes in with this sort of ridiculous claim of, well, if the Jedi were willing to assassinate me, which is already a massive bending of the truth, they're going to go after the Senate next. They're going to slaughter the Senate, including your wife. And Anakin's like, I agree. Like, you're trying to rationalize that your choices are okay. And I think that's what's going on with Dooku in the Sith Lord of, we got to see that he was right to disagree with the Senate and the Jedi, that they weren't holding up their lofty ideals of actually helping people. So he was right about the problem and wrong about the solution, that murdering people, lying to people, betraying his closest friends, starting a war to manipulate people. He knew all those things were wrong, but he was still trying to justify himself that it's what the galaxy needed. You know, that's what's going on in that Palpatine conversation. So a little bit of wobbling on the dark side, maybe. But then I think he really is pushed over the edge in the episode by Qui-Gon's death, because now he can just blame the Jedi. And I think that's there in his conversation with Yaddle about Yaddle, you know, like agreeing, like maybe if we had listened to you that the dark side was reemerging, maybe Qui-Gon wouldn't have died. And I think it makes him easier to be like, yep, the Jedi are wrong. They took Qui-Gon from me. Even though a literal Sith Lord killed him on his master's orders, he's still blaming the Jedi.
Yeah, great look at it there. Some of the stuff you're talking about, I don't know where I've heard this in real life, but where someone's like, if they could do this to me, they could do it to you. I don't know where that kind of thing comes into play in real life of grab up your weapons and defend yourself from this thing that's definitely going to happen to you. I don't know where I've heard that before. But another thing you said there as well, like the Qui-Gon thing. And Robert, again, great thoughts here, but it's like the Qui-Gon isn't this final straw breaking as if it was holding Dooku back and the dam broke and there comes the dark side. Exactly what you kind of said of, that's it. That's the thing I needed. And not that he's celebrating Qui-Gon's death. He's clearly torn up about it. Absolutely. Totally gets that. Especially because we get to see early on, he had some respect for Qui-Gon as he's coming up. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, you did good there. I maybe slipped a little bit. You did good. Kind of the spirit of some of that first episode. But you know what I mean? Of just like, it's not like, okay, Qui-Gon's dead. Now I'm going to look at the dark side. He's already there. And the justification is to point the fingers at the Jedi. Still coming from a place of heartbreak, still coming from a place of a sense of tragedy with the loss of Qui-Gon, but just like, that's that one thing I needed. Got it. This all makes sense to me now, and I'm going to justify this decision in my mind, because you can't be pulled back from that. There's moments, it breaks, it cracks, some of the beautiful heartbreaking moments with Yaddle. Mm-hmm. And Yaddle kind of say, you know, you were right. There's things that go on. There's even things in our real world where you can go, yeah, I understand questioning that. I understand wanting to look deeper into that. But I don't think you are. I think you're just using other things around the issue to point at the issue and go, see, there it's wrong. I'm good doing what I'm doing on the outside. And I think that's kind of what's at play here. So it's all on the table, Robert. And at the end of the day, the biggest loss for a lot of people is the death of Qui-Gon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think very, very well said. I think it is in that place of I'm furious. I think there's so much great stuff in Tales of the Jedi of like Dooku's got some ego. He's invested in being a powerful Jedi who can walk in and make a difference, make a decision. And he feels chained and he wants to be unleashed and use his power and feel his power. He's feeling all these dark side things. And then this is the thing that makes him go, yep. They killed my boy. I think you really love. I love how much it's clear that he loves Qui-Gon like a son. Like it's a deep connection, and like and this is, you know, as I always say, I love the epic mythic Star Wars stories that can remind me of small moments in real life. I think it's like when I want to be. I'm having a bad day and I want to be mad at someone and I want them to have done something wrong so I can stay mad. And sometimes you find out, oh, it's a misunderstanding. And I spent 15 minutes ranting to my partner about that person did blah, 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 blah. Like, oh, I totally misunderstood. No, but I kind of wanted to stay angry. You know, we're always at war with the dark side. And I think that's a big version, a big galactic version of what's happening to Dooku.
Yeah, and we did the Force Center scene by scene on the Dooku Kenobi scene in Attack of the Clones. I think it's one of our favorite scenes over the years. And a Jet scene becomes even more and more powerful and even more and more important as it inspires storytelling, like more of Dooku's backstory and Tales of the Jedi. And that scene, again, I always look at it as like, hey, who do you trust? And Obi-Wan, you've been maybe lied to, but I'm telling you the truth. And yeah, Dooku's telling some truths. But really, if you were to slow down, I to this day don't think Qui-Gon would have joined him. Mm-hmm. He might have been like, you got a point there. I don't like that point. I think it would have been a discussion. There would have been some Qui-Gon Dooku discourse going on. But from Dooku's point of view, that was the truth. And Kenobi was faced with some hard stuff right there, but he had to find the light, find the truth, and makes that scene much more powerful.
No, I really agree. And I think by Attack of the Clones, maybe Dooku has convinced himself that Qui-Gon would join him in his continued rationalization of like Qui-Gon knew what was wrong with the Senate in the Jedi. Yeah, but I cannot imagine a world where Dooku and Qui-Gon would have sat down and Dooku would have been like, we really need our own government. We need to do this. And I'm going to start a violent war slaughter trillions in a violent, pointless, manipulated war. I think Qui-Gon would have been like, some other ways to address this, I think. But, you know, he is so deeply manipulating Obi-Wan in that scene, I think. For me, it's fun to kind of not know. Has Dooku convinced himself that Qui-Gon would have joined him? Or is he just saying that to really twist the knife with Obi-Wan in those manipulations?
Yeah. And I think going back to even just that scene, Attack of the Clones, of like, I think it rings so true to Kenobi in that moment and in this moment of doubt, because I think you're right. I think Dooku has gotten to the point where, yeah, this is absolutely true. This is the answer. I'm telling you, it's like it. I knew him. I knew Qui-Gon. He believes it, so he's trying to convince you. Again, the stakes are high.
Yeah, stakes are high and really undermines Obi-Wan's confidence in himself, confidence in the Jedi. If there's even a slight inkling of, Did I really not know my master? Would he have really made these different choices? Are things even worse than I thought? You know? Yeah. Powerful. So you said that you do think, to answer Robert's final question, that Qui-Gon would have a chance at turning Dooku back if he had lived. Why do you feel that way?
I feel that this connection was strong, and that this also would have been, timeline becomes foggy, especially with the new Tales of Jedi stuff, but there would have been a number of years for Qui-Gon to get at him. So it would have been a long form. I still think Dooku was already there, not necessarily signed the paperwork on his new Sith robe, but like he was sliding, right? And already making big decisions by the time. But Qui-Gon's dying. He and Palps are already working on things, right? If he hadn't started his new job, I think there would have been time. But I say a good chance, meaning almost saying that out of respect for the love and respect they had between each other. But I still think, again, not to take too specific real world stuff, but there's those situations in our own lives where you just have to go, you know what? I'm trying to talk to you. I don't think I'm going to reach you. And this is sad, but you know, you're going your way, I'm going mine. And I think that could have been what at stake with the Qui-Gon and Dooku's relationship there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think because they were so aligned on what the problems were in the galaxy, that maybe that is an entry point of like, I agree with you. There's got to be a better way to address that than causing all of this pain. And even though you're right about the issues, what are you getting out of it, Dooku? Is this really about the issues, or is this about the fact that you kind of resent that you never got to know your family? Do you resent feeling being held back in how you use your power and when you want to use it? Is this more about you than it is about the galaxy? Even though we all agree about the galaxy, I think Qui-Gon would be in a good place to make those arguments. And I feel like that Tales of the Jedi, the earlier episode where Dooku does go pretty dark and Qui-Gon stomps him and Dooku basically says thanks. I think they also both know like this dynamic has been at play for a long, long time, you know? And in some ways it can be easier to turn to somebody when you have a problem when you know that they know that you've been wrestling with this for a long time. And I think there's some of that there. I also generally feel I have a personal strong opinion that Star Wars is really careful about how it tells the story of turning people away from the dark side, getting them to make a better choice. And it's not, you know, on a scale for me, Vader's the hardest. Ben Solo's a 5. What would a Dooku been? An 8? Like, it's not it's about the relationships. The reason Luke needs to face Vader is because they have a relationship. So I feel like Star Wars does a good job of often telling the story of, if the person who has turned to the dark side can any way justify blaming you're not going to be able to get through them. Obi-Wan had no chance to get through to Anakin. I think even Ahsoka didn't really have a chance to get to Anakin, because even though she was a Padawan, a sister, a daughter figure to him, she left him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he's got that resentment there of like, well, maybe this wouldn't have happened if you hadn't left me. Luke, I think that's Luke's knowledge on Crait of like, I helped push you over the edge in that one horrible moment, and I know what that's like, and I know you're not going to listen to me. Maybe you'll listen to your dad, the memory of your dad. Maybe you'll listen to your mom. Maybe you'll listen to Rey someday, but I know you're not going to listen to me right now. And I think that Qui-Gon is in that position to be like, Dooku didn't want to listen to Yaddle, mea culpa, after the fact.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to listen to Yoda. He sure as hell wasn't going to listen to Mace Windu, right? people he could blame, but could he blame Qui-Gon? I think that's why Qui-Gon might have a chance to get through to him, because I think down deep, Dooku might feel like, I'm saying Qui-Gon would be with me, but I know he wouldn't. I know he'd be so disappointed in me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I no, I love what you're saying. This is when we get into the emotional weeds of Star Wars and even go to the Ahsoka Anakin moment at the end of Clone Wars. Like, I think Anakin's in that spot too. He's probably clearly, you know, the Ahsoka factor, and you, like you said, kind of upset. You left me too. But man, what a way to kind of turn that back on the Order and the light side and the Jedi, right? Mm-hmm. You did another thing you did to me. Another thing you're doing to me, and that's the little twist on it, going even to the Dooku and Qui-Gon of it all, and it being a final straw. It's an emotional final straw, indeed, from a certain point of view.
Yeah, very much agreed. Great question, Robert. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to our next question. This comes to us from patron on Patreon, Stephen Campbell. Stephen says, hello there, Ken and Joseph. A lighthearted question for you. Between The Bad Batch, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, and The Mandalorian Season 3, we have been fortunate to be spending much more time on Coruscant. While experiencing these new stories, old thoughts I had from watching the prequels started popping into my mind. What's the deal with Coruscant's air traffic control? On screen, we see these massive buildings reaching into the atmosphere with all the aerial vehicles traveling in organized paths across the planet. Whenever we see our characters traveling across the city, they always violate traffic safety laws, travel however they wish, and face no repercussions. I understand that many of these instances are due to an emergency, such as Anakin and Obi-Wan's chase in Attack of the Clones or Keller and Beck's escape in The Mandalorian. But on the other hand, we have Dr. Pershing, a reformed Imperial, getting special treatment by not having to sit in the Coruscant traffic and taking the shortcut to the amnesty housing. What gives? Since you have both expressed your frustration with traffic in California, I'm sure you'd be upset well, if some person bypassed you all with a sense of importance. Thanks for your thoughts. Keep up the great work, and may the Force be with you. What are your thoughts, Ken?
There's so many thoughts. The big reason I'm laughing, I love this question, Stephen, is there's a moment when Dr. Pershing is being transported by that droid that it's an awkward moment for me. But I love it because it's so awkward, where the droid is looking back at talking to him and Pershing is kind of like, hey, look at the road type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the droid needs to do that with sensors and whatnot. That was one of the times where I was like, well, yeah, what are the rules in court? Like, is there a stoplight? Like, are you going to run a stoplight? Like, what are you doing? So I have thought about this and I love that there's chaos there. I love that all these chases. That's why I love the opening of Attack of the Clones, right? Just it's like, love the music, love the vibe, but it's what's the rules there? And I'll tell you, now that I'm this seasoned world traveler, having spent time in Paris, it ain't got California got nothing on Paris. California, you just sit for a long time. Mm-hmm. All right. You just sit. It's a patience game. How long till you get angry? All right. That's California traffic. Paris was insane to me. We're just no rules. There was no rules. It's the more Coruscant, like in New York too as well. But like New York too is also like, how long are you going to be in this intersection? When even the fire trucks are like, I don't know, the lights are going, we'll get there somehow. Paris was Coruscant to me. And what gives is a good question. I would love to see like traffic cop droids in Coruscant. Like what tickets are you riding for? Because I don't even know. I would love to go. I'd love to see Tales of the Jedi, but Tales of Coruscant Traffic School Edition. Like when you have to, how do you learn the rules? Let's explain that, Filoni.
Yeah, yeah. I was certain. I went to the same place, and I was certain I had some memory of a Clone Wars chase because there are so many Coruscant Clone Wars chases. Like, I feel like I've heard sirens. So it took a couple Googles to try to find the right Wikipedia article for Coruscant traffic cops. it was a fun Google, but I was reminded that we do see some kind of police speeder, traffic speeder, responding to a pursuit in the Clone Wars episode, Pursuit of Peace. Here's the Wikipedia entry: is Amidala was fighting with Hoikia over control of the speeder with Robinone. I picked the one with the hardest name to say, ramming her. They flew past two police droids holding a position on a corner street in a Coruscant police speeder. So they flew past a speed trap. The droids immediately began the pursuit, and Amidala was finally able to briefly shake off the two bounty hunters. As she turned the corner, several police speeders surrounded her, bringing the chase to a stop. Amidala demanded the thugs to be arrested, but not seeing Robinino or Hyoki, the police only noted the speeder was stolen and placed Amidala under arrest. So that was one of the most like traffic cops in a chase scenes that we have in Star Wars on Coruscant.
I got to go. Yeah, seek that out again. I know we covered it on Clone's Report, but that's amazing. And yeah. Shout out to the traffic stormtrooper cops. Was it Corellia?
Yeah.
So, not the defending,
yeah, patrol bikers, I think. Yeah.
It was all fascinating. And by the way, I love getting into the weeds on the emotions of Qui-Gon and Dooku. And I love just going, what? How do you get to where you get? Like, where's the on-ramps in Coruscant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that visual of Coruscant because for me, part of it is the absolute whimsy of its mm-hmm. space fantasy. It's the TIE fighters make noises in space. It's we're not going to explain tracking fobs. Just trust us. Or like, or how do the Mandalorians make their jetpacks go? Back muscles? It seems like maybe there's a button. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
There's parts of Star Wars where I feel like I know that there are fans who love the cross sections and visual dictionary and explanations. And I'm not here to kill anybody's buzz about that. But I like it when there are parts of Star Wars are like, yeah, we're going to create something that makes you go, how are they doing that? And then we're not going to answer you on purpose because we want to have fun with the space fantasy. So to me, I've always kind of taken the traffic lanes in Coruscant to be that kind of thing of like, yeah, bonkers. How do they do that?
I wouldn't mind either. I want it now to be a real running joke through all of Star Wars.
Oh yeah. How are they doing that? Yeah. I mean, I think a part of me feels like they have, you know, sensors to help them stay in lanes, that maybe the beep, maybe the seats shake if they go out of their lanes. You know, maybe Anakin's and other characters are hot wiring things or turning off alerts. Now I want to ask you a question though, because this is a thing that's been stuck in my mind for many, many years. This is a thing my brother said. My brother's 3 years older than me, but he wasn't anxious about getting his license right when he turned 16, but I was. And I think he brought this up when I was trying to get my license the second I could, which spoiler alert, did not work out. But he just said to my, he's just kind of thoughtful, staring off in the distance, and just said to my parents, like, it's amazing. The only thing that stops us from just running head on into one another and just murdering one another constantly is just a line on the ground. We're just all agreeing to a line on the ground, or we'd all be killing each other every day. And that put a real hamper in my parents being excited about me getting a license. But it is like, we look at those air lanes, like, how do they do that? Like, all it's lines in the real world. It's lines. That's it.
And hope
lines and hope. And like, yeah, sometimes there's a divider and there are traffic lights and all that, but like, barreling down a county freeway at 80, 90 miles an hour, which people do every day. It's a thin line. Yeah. My question is that different from what we see in Coruscant?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And there's some not making light of it, there's some dangerous roads in my old neck of the woods, the 46, the James Dean Highway. It's scary stuff out there. And now that you're pointed out, I'm not leaving the house today. there's so many times that it's just the balance of nature that keeps it all working.
That's society right there. We both agree that this line should not be crossed. It is mutually beneficial for us to not cross this line.
Yeah. And then once you're there, of course, and you're probably used to it again, like the example I keep saying, Paris, like every one of those cabs/rideshare cars we got into, it wasn't stressing them out.
Oh, no.
It's just me in the back going, that there's a motor, there's a moped right there. There's a big rig. Oh God. That was just Tuesday for them.
So. Yeah. Yeah, there's no real air like you get in, at least I experienced in American sort of traffic school and testing of your hands are here on the wheel, the signal you're in. No, you just go. You go.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the last part of Steven's question about Dr. Pershing getting special treatment? Does that anger you?
No, I do like you pointed this out. It was a nice ride, you know? It was, they treated him with a little bit of respect, all right? He just spoke. He just gave his TED talk. And I think he, you know, deserves a car right straight to it. I'm okay with it. It's a privilege there, but I think it was a well-earned one from him, I thought. Because he approached it all with good faith.
Yeah, and I'm fine with special lanes in Coruscant air traffic or the real world for emergencies, or like not a carpool, I guess, but an airspeeder pool. I hope they have those lanes on Coruscant. But yeah, there's maybe some social privilege there going on with Dr. Pershing is speaking at this exclusive event. I don't know if he always gets the special treatment, but yeah, it didn't make me furious.
No. What gives indeed. But yeah, and a lot going on in Coruscant. We'll dive in.
Yeah, the traffic in there's bad traffic everywhere I've ever lived. There's bad traffic in Minneapolis. A person from LA once asked me, like, what's it like to not have a rush hour? Like, we have rush hours in Minneapolis. They're maybe not as long. It's like 2 or 3 rush hours, not like 5 hours of rush hour like Los Angeles, but we still have them. It's some of that. It's the freeway stuff, and you know, every once in a while there's the that energy in Hollywood of like, what if I just went in front of you? What if it was my big break now? What if I got a casting call in my mind, and that means I could just pull out in front of you? How about that?
Well, I think Steven's touching upon the real world challenges that we all face with the dark side. I said, you know, the frustration that just it's a patience game. How soon you're going to get angry? That's the kind of stuff that happens where I feel is like you're in your car, and I'll just say it. Most of the time, they're Beamers, and you feel you belong in front of me. Where I'm most of the time, I'll let you in. Like I believe in the zipper theory. Like you go, like that we all flow. I often let people in and whatnot. But when you act, you don't give me the chance to give you the grace. It's where I get upset. And I think on Coruscant that would be part of the problem.
Absolutely. I hope they're all polite drivers. I really hope so. But I would be happy to watch much more content just about the traffic on Coruscant. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be back with a question from Twitter and the power of the light side. Back in a moment.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
And we are back with another cue. We will prepare the A's. This comes to us on Twitter from Justin Anderson. And Justin says, following the Bad Batch, what do you think the next ongoing animated series will be about? And what would you like it to be about? Set when, etc.? Now, this is something that a question that comes up. I think we've talked about it on some live streams, but I want to be sure to include it on our Q's episode because it's a big question. We have a little bit of elbow room to dive in because I think, I'm going to repeat myself about what I want to be the next animated series. But I'm also really interested in talking about if there's going to be another animated series. Mm. So I want to start there, Ken, and get your thoughts on this. I'd be thrilled if I stopped talking and there was an announcement on Twitter of here's our next animated series after Bad Batch coming in 2024. But I question whether there's another ongoing animated show like Bad Batch. If there is one coming soon, it would have already been in development for a while now and they would have been doing a really good job keeping a lid on it. But Bad Batch got launched with, it seems like to me, a 3-season order from the get-go, probably based on their production schedule or an extremely fast green light on the second and third seasons. But it was at the beginning of Disney Plus, where we need a lot of stuff coming. We got the Clone Wars final season, and that's going to roll right into Bad Batch. But now we're in a development period where it's streaming is being questioned in whether the volume of shows is this volume of shows necessary to keep our subscribers, that all that makes me really wonder if they have an ongoing animated show banked or if we'll be looking at more short bursts like here's season 2 of Tales of the Jedi, here's another volume of Visions, maybe more Young Jedi Adventures, but not a Clone Wars, Rebels, Bad Batch type show.
I think it's a great point. It's something we haven't really discussed before. Yeah, this is a great question. We call them the Force Center temperature check questions of what are you feeling right now? And quite frankly, my answer changes a lot because my desires for another animated show changes a lot. So we can get to that. But I actually kind of agree with you. Don't love scoop culture and everything. But like, remember Young Tales of the Jedi and like even Young Jedi Adventures kind of leaked out there that there was some artwork and stuff. And again, I don't support that kind of stuff. But there's nothing yet, so maybe they've learned to keep it a little more under lock and key. No one's sneaking in parking garages next door to an animation studio and taking photos. But there's a lot that's changed, and one of the things, Filoni's moved on to live action, but still has his hand in it and executive producing and an idea guy. And Tales of the Jedi is very much from him. But there's wonderful names behind him that can continue the tradition. Jennifer Corbett, Brad Rao, Athena Portillo, overseen so many things at a higher level. So I hope that they can, but yeah, it's a different game right now. And Bad Batch season 2, I'm kind of telling people in private conversations, so I'll say it now here. It's kind of my favorite of Star Wars television so far, and that's what I love for Kenobi, a love for Andor, a love for Mando. But Bad Batch season 2 moved me and surprised me and was something that I wasn't expecting and just kind of enriched my Star Wars fandom, I felt. So I'd love to see more of this, but I don't know what it did in terms of numbers. They'll never really tell us, which is, by the way, part of the reason we're striking. They're striking. They hide those numbers really well. So I do question if we'll have something immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that question of numbers, I think it is, you know, you can find wonderful threads about this. I would recommend John Rogers on Twitter, JONROG1 is his handle. If you're looking for just more a consolidated place to get big picture stuff on the strike. But yeah, it definitely is. I mean, part of it, what writers are talking about is like, well, if there's massive, massive value in a show, like this is how many millions of views it's getting, maybe that should be reflected in what the writer's being paid. But it also, to me, not knowing the numbers for something like Bad Batch that I loved and would go to the mat for, it's also just about this relationship between the streamers and the companies and the audience. I mean, you remember it when more things were network, and every once in a while audiences could save a show because we understood the metrics of like, okay, not enough people are watching, so Honda isn't buying ad time during this show. Well, let's show Honda there's enough of us, or let's show the network that there's enough of us watching. And not knowing the numbers of something like Bad Batch to me makes the difference, because like, I don't know, like, what do I need to do to let, what's the metric that Disney Plus would consider a new animated show like Bad Batch to be important?
Yeah.
The audience doesn't know. So how can we advocate for it? We can just go, I liked it. That's an essential thing to me about all this too. A little bit of a side conversation there, but we're in that era of talk. I'm with you. I absolutely love the Bad Batch. I had a good talk with a friend recently on a podcast that's not out yet, about she initially kind of really, really picked up on the fun premise of the Bad Batch is the here's four dudes with a shtick. And I was able to tell her, like, it goes so much deeper. And the amount of depth in that they've accomplished in Bad Batch, the actual beauty of the animation is so great. And I would love that style of animation. And some of that creative team, maybe even other people like you're listening, step up. That would be so great. But I'm concerned that it's being questioned and animation takes so long to develop. And depending on whatever metrics there are inside Disney Plus of what do we want other than the very ambiguous more content, so people don't drop their subscriptions? Is there a metric of we need a new Star Wars of some kind,
right?
This many weeks of the year or whatever, and then so then the question to me is, if that is a metric, is that being fulfilled by season two of Tales of the Jedi, which I'm thrilled about? Of Visions Volume 3 in a couple of years, you know, a green light for Young Jedi Adventures Season 2 in a couple months. Is that enough, or is there a feeling that we need another Bad Batch?
That's a great point, that even something like Visions or Tales of Jedi could suffice. And I don't want that to be the case, but business-wise, it could make sense going forward.
Yeah.
At least me a future.
Yeah, and I'm thrilled with Tales of Jedi and Visions. This is not in any way a criticism of those. And I think there has been a real focus on the animation side, everything from Forces of Destiny to the Galaxy of Adventures to now Young Jedi Adventures, to know that animation is a good place to get young Star Wars fans started. So I think they'll keep being things like that no matter what. So if we were so lucky to have what we want is another Bad Batch, another Clone Wars, another Rebels, another Resistance, I think some people would put that on the same level, even though it was pitched to a slightly lower age demographic initially. If there was another ongoing Star Wars series, where are the waves of the Force taking you? What do you want today?
Yeah, we keep going to this, you know, hey, there's a lot of time. You know, between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, many of those periods of time now, different eras being celebrated in the Mandoverse and what's now called the New Republic era, there's still, to me, this wide open space, and we can move even closer to the events of Force Awakens, not unlike Star Wars Resistance, which, by the way, take some of those characters and explore them going forward. You know, same style, maybe, I don't know, age it up a little bit. But I think you and I would agree, and a lot of people listening, that the two seasons of very interesting, intriguing Star Wars storytelling mixed in with some different vibes that maybe didn't work for everybody. Totally get it. But Kaz is a great character. Jarek Yeager is a great character. I mean, there's so many wonderful stories in that time period. The Doza family, everything about it. So today my focus is on that and how you could take those characters, some of them at least post Rise of Skywalker. And if we're saying there's some time, you know, they're just now kind of saying, hey, we got these three films we're going to do, and this is New Jedi Order is part of the era going forward. Rey's got her story on the big screen, but like you could move into a series that kind of gets us 15 years in the future in a way. State of the Galaxy, there's that comment we talked on news this week of Kathleen Kennedy say, you know, the Jedi are in chaos. We don't even know how many Jedi are out there. It's State of the Galaxy thing. That'd be a great place to explore it on a more granular level, taking some of those characters we've already had established, mix them in with some ones that we know.
Yeah, I would love that. I think some people felt like Kaz was going to be force sensitive, that he had these sort of the clumsy force was with him. Oh, he knocked things down and it worked out, kind of thing.
Yeah,
that would be fascinating to explore. I think that's a really great idea. I know it is a repetition, but it is the truth in my heart. I would love a Luke Skywalker's Jedi Order show. When you and I have been talking about that in different combinations for years. Sometimes we've both been like, oh, what would Luke and Lor San Tekka going around discovering Jedi stuff? I think I'd love to have some Lor San Tekka stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But what I would really, really love is a Luke Skywalker's Jedi Order. If they keep to the canon of that Rise of Kylo Ren comic book, we see that he's got not only a school on Ossus, but what appears to be an order with some Jedi out in the galaxy on missions. If I got my timeline right, the Force Awakens, it's about 6 years earlier where everything falls apart. So if you had a series set about 10 years before the Force Awakens, so you got an older Ben Solo who could be going out on missions. There's nothing that we've seen to say he's a student of Luke's, but there's nothing to say that he's not being sent out on solo missions as a Jedi. You know, we got 4 years, four solid seasons to build to the fateful moments, much like the Clone Wars, have Luke and Ben, main characters like Anakin and Obi-Wan, but maybe we meet a Jedi that we didn't know the way we met Rex and Ahsoka, and we go on their journey too. And I think as a huge fan of Luke Skywalker, there's a desire for me to see, just like I'm on about Justice for the Jedi, I think I'm a little bit on Justice for Luke. I love The Last Jedi, and I think everything in it tracks beautifully. But I think Luke is being hard on himself of like, yep, he made some mistakes. He couldn't keep Ben from the dark side, and he had that moment of seeing this horrible vision of everything that would fall apart because of Ben falling to the dark side. And he had a brief instinct to try to stop it. Maybe that's Jedi defense. Maybe that's selfish. I'm going to lose what I love. And then he realizes he's wrong instantly and turns the blade off.
Yeah.
But it was that one moment of weakness that really pushed Ben over the edge. And that's what Luke is tearing himself up about. He so wants to be perfect, and he had one moment and he can't forgive himself for it. And that's what I love that story in The Last Jedi. But I think there's plenty of room to show that for many years he made great choices and he helped lots of people and he was a good Jedi master, and that there was a reason that maybe his ego got a little bit away from him because he was effing awesome.
Yeah.
And I think there's room to tell some triumphs of Luke Skywalker that still absolutely work with his beautiful story in The Last Jedi, in my opinion.
The Triumphs of Luke Skywalker, a new series coming soon. I love what you're saying. Yeah, there's just a reality of we had 30 plus years between these movies, between that character story, you know, 6 and 7. And so just by default, you lost out on some Luke stories, no matter what you did with him in 7. There's so many adventures still to hear. And because we did get a lot in Legends, I understand that maybe you felt like you missed him. Maybe you wanted more. You wanted more time with that Luke. I understand that. And that's why his appearance in Mando was good, tear inducing for people. Mm-hmm. I'm there for those emotions. So if an animated series, the best way to explore that on that deep of a level, sign me up. Sign me up.
Yeah, because I'm there for the triumphs of Luke, and I'm there for the seeds of hubris and the seeds of, I don't quite know how to get through to Ben. I'm trying so hard, but I don't quite know how to get through to him. Maybe it's a mistake to have him more isolated from his mom and his dad. Maybe that isn't what he needs. And having those seeds of doubt and getting to spend time with them as well and treat Luke the way Obi-Wan and Anakin are treated in the Clone Wars as animated series, as heroes who are fallible. And then, you know, hey, Ben Solo, pretty great character to spend some time with. And I think the other part of the reason that I'm so excited about this possibility is it feels in line with what's going on behind the scenes, in that Filoni has said in interviews that it's great that Mando succeeded, and now we can maybe flesh out that big question of what happened between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. We've all wondered, and now there's room to maybe tell some of those stories. And the fact that Filoni himself has been interested in telling Luke Skywalker stories and showing the building of Ossus and the school makes me feel like a creator who is positioned to help make this happen is interested in marking the timeline of the arc of these characters and having some ideas of where they go. Like, I absolutely love the idea of a resistance type show about Kaz and Yeager in the time after Rise of Skywalker. But there's those production questions of, well, is the state of the galaxy in the New Jedi Order Rey movie defined enough that animation could tell that story without accidentally stepping on something?
Indeed, yeah.
Where this is, I think Filoni and Favreau, I think, have the keys to this time period right now. So it's possible.
More than possible. And it's definitely on their minds. So the handling, the appearance of Luke and Mando was wonderful. I think the handling of Luke and his vibe, technology and all, but the vibe, the character of this moment in the Book of Boba Fett was showed a great understanding of him in this time and where he was, where he is going. And yes, we know where he'll end up, but the building blocks are there. So I'm with you. There's some hope in there.
Yeah. And an awesome new shirt that I'm going to get many action figures of for Luke.
The triumphs of Luke's.
I go on about the desire for that Luke's Jedi Order with a young Ben Solo show. But so I did want to throw out another option. I think my preference would be to see this character in live action, but I think another fun option would be something like Dr. Aphra, just like really surprising, different vibe for an ongoing animated show, different tone, something with fan recognition for her legion of fans on the publishing side, but a fun surprise to viewers who don't know her yet. I think I would prefer live action to animation for Dr. Aphra, but it's exciting to think about those possibilities too.
That's a great answer. One we haven't really discussed much. I'm glad you said that. This is a character that's been around for a pretty long time in history here. 2014 seems like a long time ago and just yesterday. But that's that. All her stories have this wild edge to them. That is kind of at times bonkers Star Wars that might lend itself to animation even more than live action. But I'm with you. I probably prefer live action, but that's a great way to maybe move that character forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Exciting. I hope I would love to be wrong, and I hope they announce a new long running animation show soon, along with Tales of the Jedi and Visions and Young Jedi Adventures.
Mm-hmm. Totally with you on that.
Excellent. All right, we are going to move on to our final segment, and that is Power of the Light Side. If you are a patron on Patreon, we put out a call for just a fun memory, a happy memory, a way that Star Wars has moved you or made a difference in your life. You can go to the post page and scroll down to the picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi smiling at the Skywalker twins, and you'll see the call for these submissions. This one comes to us from Ethan Truman. Ethan says, hello, Force Center. My Power of the Light Side today is about community, specifically this wonderful Force Center community. As I'm writing this, it is the Sunday of Celebration 2023, and I'm sitting on my couch watching the live stream and chatting on the Patreon Discord server about everything going on across the pond this weekend. It's been so great to feel the community spirit this weekend as we have all been celebrating together, whether we are in London on the convention floor or we are in our own homes, on our own couches, in our pajamas at 4 a.m. It's been especially great for me because I don't have a lot of people in my life that I can get this far into the weeds with about the thing I love. My wife is patient with me and will listen to me go on and on about Grand Admiral Thrawn, Wilhelm Screams, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, Real Row Hood and Narkeena 5 prisoners. But it has been great to be able to connect with a group of people for which none of those things need any explanation and who already speak that language. So thank you to all of the lovely people and to you, Ken and Joseph, for creating such a nerdy, accepting, and loving fan community. I hope one day I'll be able to make the trek to a celebration in person. May the Force be with you always. May the Force be with you, Ethan. This is great. Ken, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, as we always say, but we're gonna keep saying it. We'll never stop saying it. It's you out there that make this community such a wonderful spot, the Force Center community. But the celebration vibes, even from far away, Ethan's making me wistful for last month, Joseph, that experience out there in London ended up being so rewarding when I admit I had some anxieties and some trepidation about getting out there, just like I do with Tokyo. It's a big trip for us, but just like it was a big trip for a lot of you to come out here to Anaheim and Orlando at all. It's so nice. And my memories, there's so many wonderful memories, right, that we formed immediately. But I love, I would get up and leave the hotel and go forage for some sort of breakfast. And there was a couple of grocery stores near us, and I would go get my Oasis black currant flavored drink, whatever it was in the morning, coffee, and pass by those two hotels. Is that little stretch of lane there leading to the convention center, and just seeing all the people getting dropped off, getting off the train, getting out the cars, the black cabs and the rideshare cars, dressed or carrying a lightsaber, and knowing that they're going to that convention to feel that vibe. And knowing that vibe was also felt on Ethan's couch at 4 a.m., it's truly a wonderful thing. We'll hold on to that, as the fandom always will have its rough seas it's got to navigate. But great stuff, Ethan.
Yeah, no, I had so many great celebration memories that are about community. I remember one of the days I realized, like, oh, I have a window where I can dart onto the show floor and really dive deep into action figures. And I passed two women dressed both as Clone Wars Padme outfits, two different Clone Wars Padme outfits. And it is that kind of deep dive of, like, definitely you can find people on social media who are into Padme and all that. But to just, like, see that that level of love and that depth of love to have created costumes from the Clone Wars animated series. Yeah, those kind of moments are great, and it's really great to hear that the spirit of celebration came across to the CouchCon, part of celebration, which I've definitely been involved in. I did not go to Orlando when it was in London in 2016. I was not able to go. And CouchCon, I think, has a different wonderful vibe, because in a way you're connecting with people sort of magically from across time and space. 4 a.m. in your pajamas, and in a lot of ways people at home can process the news much better, and actually watch the trailers multiple times without fighting with hotel Wi-Fi and things like that. So it's really great to hear this report of feeling the celebration community and love, and really heard and really appreciated, Ethan, about the Force Center community. I feel like on social media, on Twitter, when people respond specifically to our posts, in general on our YouTube comment section, I think a lot of places have had a really positive community of people who truly want to celebrate Star Wars. And when they don't like about it, something about it, discuss it in a friendly way. And knowing that the Discord is hopping and people are able to have those conversations, it means a lot to me. And also it means a lot to me for the obvious value of it, but also to just be able to sort of explain my life to people who sometimes don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've had the conversation with friends who are just, they're not as connected to the pop culture world. They don't know that they're, how much community can come from it. That yes, it is absolutely about loving the thing, but it is also about finding friendship and community through something. So sometimes I'll tell a friend, like, well, you know, a big thing I do is this Star Wars podcast. I'm like, you just talk about that one Mando episode four times a week? What? Or if they're kind of grumpy about it, it's like, sorry, you got to talk about that. And like, all right. But what always makes a difference when I talk to people is like, yeah, but here's the thing is we've been lucky to reach a lot of listeners who love Star Wars like we do, and they don't have often a place where they can be honest about loving it because people will be jerks. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just that'll be news to people of like, what, really? You can't just like tweet, I love Star Wars. Like, no. I mean, you can, but you might have to deal with some people. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people don't know the level of you know, meanness that can happen on social media. But everybody understands community. And I think when I can explain to people that a part of what we're doing is, you know, being involved in connecting people who want to celebrate, that makes sense to people.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about getting outside that bubble or I got a question recently in a meeting situation of someone asked like, hey, what does Force Center do between shows? Like you just said, oh, the nice professional way of, do you just talk about Mando over and over? And the answer really is, well, we talk about how this makes us feel. And then, you know, you plug into that community that feels the same way, which is why we're not focusing all on the negative or, you know, the way we talk about it is important. And everyone listening knows that, but that's the vibe. That's what keeps us all going. That's what kept me going as a Star Wars fan for years. Mm-hmm. That's what makes me feel. And that's where we start. So thank you. Thank you all, you couch conners.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, everyone in the Discord, everyone part of the Force Center community. If you're on Patreon or on social media, or you're not on social media at all, but you just listen, everyone is a part of the Force Center community. And thank you all so much. Thank you, Ethan, for this great power of the Force. That is it. Ken, where can people find us?
Hey, if you want to find us, we are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Subscribe over there. We got a live show at the end of the month, figure fights, all that stuff is over there, as well as rebroadcasts of our podcast. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of different spots, including iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tbubble.com/user/ForceCenter, patreon.com/ForceCenter, where you can support us and get into that Discord where you can talk with people like Ethan and a whole lot more. Follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com for more. Sir, where can they find and follow your adventures?
You can find me on many social media, but not all. I'm waiting for a blue sky invite. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, TikTok, all with the handle at Joseph Scrimshaw. And be on the lookout for some creative projects and announcements coming soon. But for now, that is it. For myself, for Ken, for traffic control cops on Coruscant, this has been Q's.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.